What is up, everyone? Welcome back. Welcome to the Giants Nation podcast. And guys, I hope, first of all, happy 4th of July to everyone. That's all I gotta say. I hope you guys have a wonderful 4th of July. And watch the fireworks. As we once again celebrate America for a long time. And I also hope you guys are having a wonderful Tuesday morning. But guys, today I decided to come on here today just because I wanted to do another list for you guys today. My list for today, listing down my 10 best players in New York Giants history. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. Throughout the over 100 year history of this franchise, some pretty incredible talents have come and gone. New York has won 4 NFL championships, pre-merger, and 4 Super Bowls. Surely they've had to have some all-time talent to achieve such accomplishments, right? You know, these 10 players all made massive impacts on the Giants during their time with the team. Either they contributed to a championship or were just incredibly dominant. That being said, here are my 10 players, 10 best players in New York Giants history. Starting with number one, you guys are going to be surprised when I say this, but I got quarterback Phil Simms at number one on my list, and here's why. First of all, let's look at the accolades of Phil Simms. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler, 2-time Super Bowl champion, and he was a Super Bowl MVP. Listen up. Phil Simms may not have as many insane accolades as other players that could have taken this spot. However, there's no doubt about how important Phil Simms was to the Giants' Super Bowl runs in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, without him, the Giants definitely don't have their 1986 Super Bowl and likely aren't in the position for Jeff Hostetler to win it, to win it all in 1990 after Phil Simms went down with a broken leg. The Giants' defense may have... I understand the Giants' defense may have been the shining point of both Super Bowl teams. However, Phil Simms consistently led below-average offensive units to high levels of success. Alongside this, Phil Simms consistently, rose to the occasion come playoff time. For example, in the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos, Phil Simms completed 22 of his 25 pass attempts for 268 yards and 3 touchdowns. Even prior to the Super Bowl, Phil Simms had a game in which he threw for 4 touchdowns against the 49ers in the divisional round. Being a quarterback automatically gives Phil Simms a little nudge up into the top 10, a top two. Being a great player in arguably the hardest position of all sports is one thing. Winning a Super Bowl while playing at an elite level, in said game and setting up the Giants for yet another Super Bowl makes it easy to have him on the list. So I got him number one on my list. Number two, you guys know I'm a defensive guy. We cannot forget about defensive linebacker Harry Carson. Harry Carson, 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time second team All Pro, 1-time Super Bowl champion, and he's clearly he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Harry Carson was, even though I wasn't around to watch him play, I heard about him. This guy was an incredibly vital piece to this Giants elite defensive unit in the 80s. While he'd retired 2 years before he could be crowned a two-time Super Bowl champion, his contribution to the Super Bowl. This is when LT was around, so obviously around. This is obviously around around the 80s and the 90s. You know, will never be forgotten. It's unfortunate that tackles weren't recorded when Harry Carson played. However, you know, we don't need to look at stats to understand how incredible of a talent he was. Harry Carson was, you know, he was a member of both the Crunch Bunch and Big Blue Wrecking Crew defensive units. He may never have been the best player on those teams, thanks to a certain someone who will be mentioned later, but at the end of the day, he was very important to the Giants' Super Bowl hopes. He often gets overlooked, but this is more of a good thing. You know, the Giants' defense of that era is more remembered as the core they were, as opposed to one singular player. Now, Harry Carson would spend his entire 13-year career with the Giants, where he would obviously make 9 Pro Bowls and 4 All-Pro second teams. So, yeah. I got Harry Carson on my list. I got Harry Carson on number 2 on my list. Number 3. It's going to surprise a lot of people, but I got safety Emlyn Tunnell. This guy, you know, another big defensive player. 8-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first team All-Pro, 2-time second team All-Pro. You know, he was the New York Giants all-time interception leader. He won a champion in 1956, and he's a NFL Hall of, you know, he was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame on 1950s team, and he's clearly a Hall of Famer. Here's why I have this guy on my list. You know, obviously this guy was playing way before my time and probably even before my parents' time. You know, we're talking about the 50s. My parents were not even born. My dad was born, both of my parents were born in the 70s, in the 80s. Being arguably the best defensive back in New York Giants history, what Emlyn Tunnell had was a hell, you know, like what this guy had, like Emlyn Tunnell had a hell of a career with the Giants. While he wouldn't spend his entire career in New York, what he did during his time with the Giants, it was nothing short of special. Through 11 years, this guy would snag 74 interceptions, which ranked second all-time in the entire NFL. Alongside this, Tunnell was also an elite punt returner for his time. Currently, he ranks 14th all-time in punt return touchdowns with 5, while ranking 20th in total returns and 31st in return yards. Now, Emlyn is, you know, he was both one of the, you know, he is both one of the greatest Giants of all time and one of the best players at his position, you know, that anyone has ever seen. I mean, it's not every day a team has a player who was the all-time leader in the stat when they retired. While Paul Crossey would eventually overtake Tunnell for the all-time leader in interceptions, Tunnell was the leader by a wide margin when he retired in 1961. You know, the only knock we can give is that when he left the Giants for the Packers, he would eventually be part of an NFL championship team that defeated the Giants 37-0 in 1961. In all seriousness, though, Tunnell is, you know, this guy is easily the best defensive back the Giants have ever seen. And, you know, I'm incredibly grateful to have had such an incredible player stood up for the Giants. So, he's number 3. Number 4, You guys already know what I'm about to go to. Number four, I got a running back and wide receiver, Frank Gifford. Look it. We all know what we're talking about here. This guy was 8-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first team all pro. He was NFL champion in 1956. You know, he was also the NFL MVP in the year of 1956. And he was also the player of the year. You know, he was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. He was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame 1950s team. And this guy is a clear-cut Hall of Famer. There's no question. You know, there may not be a more versatile player in NFL history than Frank Gifford. You know, I mean, we see now how players like Christian McCaffrey can be an elite pass catchers and a running back. Now, imagine if Christian McCaffrey did all of that, you know, and played in the secondary as well. I mean, that's right. In addition to being the Giants' best runner and receiver for the majority of his career, Frank Gifford racked up snaps in the secondary as well. You know, this guy, he was selected 11th overall in the 1952 NFL draft. It didn't take long at all for Frank Gifford to find his footing. You know, while he didn't see the field often during his rookie year, this guy would make 7 consecutive Pro Bowls following that and would be one of the most important players on the Giants championship team. And, you know, in the championship game itself, Frank Gifford would run the ball 5 times for 30 yards in addition to catching 4 passes for 131 yards and a touchdown. By the time he retired, you know, this guy racked up over 9,000 yards on the ground through the air while also scoring 77 touchdowns. It's just pure awesomeness. So, he's number 4 on my list. Number 5, I got defensive lineman Andy Robustelli. Another player way before my time. 4-time first team all pro, 5-time pro bowler, 2-time second team all pro. He was a champion in the 1956 season, and this guy is clearly a Hall of Famer. Now, Andy Robustelli, you know, this guy may not have had the crazy accolades or longevity, you know, with the Giants during his time with the team. However, his importance in the Giants' 1956 championship run far outweighs any accolade. Following the trade that brought him from the Rams to the Giants immediately, New York immediately had one of, if not the best defensive units in the league. Meanwhile, the Rams went from the best team in their conference to the worst. You know, according to Pro Football Reference, in the final years of his career, this guy racked up 52.5 sacks, which is just absurd. Considering that these numbers were put up between the ages of 35 to 39, I mean, we can only imagine the numbers Robustelli was putting up during his prime. You know, I feel like without this guy, there is a very real chance the Giants don't win their 1956 NFL championship. You know, the team had failed to make the postseason every year until the 1956 season. And it was and still is incredibly, you know, apparent how impactful the Robustelli trade was. This guy, alongside the drafting of Sam Huff, is what put New York over the edge. You know? So, yeah. Alright guys, next up, so he's number 5. Number 6 guys, I got cornerback and linebacker Mel Hine. This guy, we're going way back into the 30s now with this guy. This guy, he was a 4-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro, 2-time NFL champion. He was the MVP in the 1939 season. He was also inducted into the Hall of Fame on 1930s team, and this guy was a clear Hall of Famer. Similar to Gifford, Mel Hine is one of the most versatile players the NFL has ever seen. You know, not only did Hine suit up at center for the Giants, but he also spent a reasonable amount of time at linebacker as well. Now, you know, this Hine is a player not many may know due to how long ago he played. Despite this, he still had a massive impact on the Giants. You know, he spent his entire 15-season career with New York and was an incredibly talented player for the team. A center or linebacker winning MVP is nearly impossible in the modern NFL. However, you know, Hine played both positions and was the league's first ever official MVP winner at playing those positions. Just an incredible accomplishment all around. You know, in addition to being an incredibly talented player for his time, Hine was also a core member of two NFL championship teams, one in 1934 and the other in 1938. Now, Hine made an all-pro team each year alongside winning the Carr Trophy in 1938. There's not many stats regarding Hine's snaps at linebacker. However, according to Pro Football Focus, Hine snagged 10 interceptions throughout his career, which is rather impressive considering the era and position he played in. So, I got him at number 6. At number 7, I got offensive tackle Rosie Brown. Another player around the fifth. This is another player that was around. This is another player that was playing for the 1950s New York Giants. Now, this guy, he was really good. You know, he's a 9-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first team All Pro, 2-time second team All Pro. He became an NFL champion in the 1956 season, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame on 1950s team. This guy, he's clearly another Hall of Famer. I mean, when talking about the greatest offensive lineman of all time, it seems like Rosie Brown is often forgotten about. Not only was he a top player on the championship team, but 9 Pro Bowls and 8 total All-Pro teams are just absurd. I mean, alongside this, Rosie Brown's career was 13 seasons long, which isn't exactly common for offensive linemen due to how much contact they got to deal with. Rosie Brown, he may not have played extra positions like Frank Gifford or Hine, but he didn't need to. You know, Rosie Brown was a monster in the trenches that made opposing players' lives hell. You know, for being selected in the 27th round, yes, that's right, 27th round, it's easy to say Rosie Brown had a more successful career. His size and speed made him the premier blocking option for Frank Gifford. In fact, Frank Gifford had even stated that he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame if it wasn't for Rosie Brown. It goes to show how respected he was by his peers at the time. You know, this sort of player is what championship teams are built upon. You know, hence why the Giants now have a high-level tackle like Andrew Thomas is so important. Adding this level of offensive lineman to a team can help build a special unit. So he's number 7. Number 8, we can't forget about the great defensive end himself, Michael Strahan. Now, obviously, I was alive to watch this guy play. You know, 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first team All Pro, 2-time second team All Pro. This guy, he was the all time tackles leader for the Giants. You know, he was also the NFL single season sack record holder. You know, he became a Super Bowl champion in the 2007 season. He became NFL Defensive Player of the Year in the 2001 season. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame All-2000s team. And this guy, there's no question, he's a Hall of Famer himself. Throughout the history of the Giants, there are a few players who were more exciting to watch than Michael Strahan. Not only was this guy excellent on the field, but his trash talk and attitude made him for some truly exciting moments. You know, in his prime, I mean, there may not have been a more feared player on defense. Michael Strahan's 22.5 sack season in 2001 is a record that still stands to this day. Some have tied, but it's yet to be broken, and it will probably be a while before we see it be beaten. You know, if Michael Strahan didn't have a slower start to his career, he very well could have pushed into the number two spot. However, in his prime, there's no doubt he's a top tier. He's a top three giant ever. You know, I mean, what this guy brought, what he brought game in and game out couldn't be replaced. Not only did he win the Super Bowl in 2007, but he was also a huge piece of the Giants Super Bowl run in the year of 2000. You know, Michael Strahan was nothing less than excellent in both runs. In the year of 2000, he racked up 4.5 sacks, 12 tackles, and a forced fumble in three playoff games, alongside the 2007 season, which was probably one of my favorite seasons ever. Just seeing the Giants pummel Tom Brady and the undefeated New England Patriots, not once but twice in the Super Bowl. We're at age 36. He tallied 2 sacks, 19 tackles, 2 forced fumbles, and 3 tackles for loss in the postseason. I mean, what a player and a true New York legend. All right, guys, number 9. You guys already know who I'm about to say. You guys might disagree, but hey, this is just my list. I got my guy, the only man to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl besides Nick Foles, quarterback Eli Manning. 4-time Pro Bowler, 2-time Super Bowl champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP. This guy was the 2016 Walter Payton Man of the Year. You know, this guy is the New York Giants all-time leader in passing yards, touchdowns, and completions. Look at, first of all, from start to finish, Eli Manning embodied what it meant to be a New York Giant. You know, this guy still represents the team incredibly well. Either it be the fact that he spent all 16 seasons in New York, or his countless iconic moments. Still, look, there's been no shortage of love towards Manning, towards Eli Manning by Giants fans. You know what I mean? Either it be his throw to Mario Manningham, the helmet catch, Odell Beckham's one-hander against Dallas, taking down the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl. Eli had no shortage of incredible moments during his time with the Giants. And look, like I said before, some may disagree, but we have no doubt in our minds that Eli belongs in the Hall of Fame. No quarterback should be top 10 in completions, passing yards, and passing touchdowns while winning 2 Super Bowls and not be in the Hall of Fame. That's not even including the context of the Super Bowls Eli won. So I got Eli at number 9. And last but not least, guys, we already know who I'm about to go to. I can't leave Lawrence Taylor off this list. One of the greatest defensive players of all time. The great LT, Lawrence Taylor. I got him at number 10. This guy, 10-time Pro Bowler, 8-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time second-team All-Pro, 3-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He was the NFL MVP in the 1986 season. He was named the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in the 1981 season, which is no question. This guy is a 2-time Super Bowl champion. You know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame on 1980s team. And this guy, there's no question, he's a Hall of Famer. There's no question. Like, was there any doubt? Not only is Lawrence Taylor by far and away the greatest player in Giants history, he is also the greatest defensive player the league has ever seen. I mean, what this guy, Lawrence Taylor, he is clearly one of 2 defensive players to win the MVP award post-merger, and is arguably the most dominant player the league has ever seen. you knew Lawrence Taylor was going to be special when he won the NFL Defensive Player of the Year in his rookie season. Following his rookie year, this guy went out and won the award yet again. After that, the rest is history. I mean, I think it's very easy to say without LT, the Giants very well could be just two-time Super Bowl champions. I mean, his level of importance cannot be overstated. I mean, he's literally the best defensive player of all time, so it's clear how important he was. Regardless, without Lawrence Taylor, the Giants likely aren't looked at the same as they currently are as a franchise. You know, words can't describe how dominant this guy was during his 13-season-long career. The NFL has and likely will never see another player like him. Thankfully for the Giants, he spent all 13 years in blue and not for an opposing team. For his career, this guy posted 142 sacks, including 20.5 in 1986. So, yeah. And yeah, guys, those are my 10 best players in New York Giants history. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed my list for today. And yeah, let me know how you guys feel about my list, and I'll get right back at you guys. Yeah, that's all I have for you guys for today. I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants or more lists if I have any. And also, guys, I wish everyone a happy 4th of July. Enjoy everything, relax, and take a drink or listen to some music while you hear do something. That's all I got to say about that. But like I said before, guys, I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants. And look, if you don't feel like watching fireworks, hey, you can always join my podcast. I'm always gonna be updating. You know, if you guys follow me on Spotify, you guys will get notified for more of my new segments that I upload every day once I am on my podcast. So yeah, but. Like I said before, guys, I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants and more lists if I have any. And once again, I wish you all a happy 4th of July. But until then, I am out. Peace.